Welcome to The Stream. I'm Josh Rushing. Public opposition to a planned police training center in the U.S. city of Atlanta is growing after the police killing of an environmental rights activist made national and international headlines. Community environmental activists have for months sought to block construction of the facility, as highlighted by a recent AJ Plus film.
Occupying this forest is how activists are resisting the construction of a $90 million state-of-the-art police training center protesters call Cop City. The facility will be developed on one of the largest green spaces in Southeast Atlanta, which has a history of oppression.
They just want to go in and bulldoze everything and then write the history the way that they want to write it.
The fate of the forest is up in the air as the police and forest defenders both refuse to back down.
All right, joining us today from Atlanta, Kamal Franklin. He's the executive director of Community Movement Builders. That's a collective of Black community residents and activists advocating for neighborhoods next to the planned facility. Also joining from Atlanta is Jacqueline Eccles, co-founder of the South River Watershed Alliance that is trying to protect the land in which the planned police center will be built. And joining us from New York, Anna Cook is a film producer at AJ Plus, who's been covering the story. Also, you are at the table. If you're watching this on YouTube right now, see that comment thing over there? We have a live producer there waiting to get your comments to me so I can get them to our guest. So I invite you to be a part of the stream with me today. All right, let's start with Anna. Anna, what drew you to this story?
Yeah, no, there has been a lot of attention on Cop City. It had been bubbling since, especially after 2020, the nationwide Black Lives Matter protests, where people, not just in Atlanta, but nationwide, called for defund in the police, an end to police brutality. But then in Atlanta, we saw with this proposed facility an increase in funding for the police. And so that drew a lot of attention, obviously a lot of opposition, and people have peacefully, you know, occupied the forest as a way to protest against building this facility. But I think what's so interesting about this Cop City is that it's drawing a lot of national and international solidarity and attention because it's at the intersection of environmentalism, you know, racial justice, indigenous rights. Mm-hmm. It's also just brought a lot of grassroots community activism to try to protect the forest. You know, they want to nurture and preserve this park, this public park and forest for the benefit of the community.
Well, let's start with as close as to the community as we can, and then we'll work our way out through these issues. I want to play a clip from your film. This is actually with a local resident.
Residents who live nearby say they were blindsided by the city's plan to expand the massive police facility.
This happened literally in my backyard. No one has reached out to me. I do see when they ask for votes. To them, it may not be a farce, but to somebody else, it does mean something. It's a saying is true. One man's junk is another man's treasure. But these are the same individuals who don't even live in the community. They don't live in the community. They don't care. What they care? They don't care at all. These same city councilmen, would you allow it in your community?
You know, Kamal, I want to pair that with something that I was reading on, I think it's on the Atlanta Police Foundation website. We can actually go to my computer and see it. Here, I'll highlight one of the goals that they've set here is to set a national standard for community engagement, neighborhood sensitivity, and devotion to the civil rights of all citizens by law enforcement. Now, I'm listening to that gentleman who was in the AJ Plus film, and it doesn't seem like they're living up to this particular one, Kamal. Can you touch on this?
Sure. I mean, not only they're not living up to it, their job is to use that as propaganda, as they basically run ripshaw over this community and put this facility where no one has asked for it. As the prior speaker said, this facility was jammed through via the city council and the mayor's office. No one in that community was asked or interviewed about wanting this facility there. Over 70% of the respondents who called in when city council passed this resolution or to give this lease said they did not want this facility built. Over 90% of the people who live directly adjacent to the forest have said that they do not want this facility built. Instead, the City of Atlanta, the Atlanta Police Foundation, and the Atlanta Police themselves have basically jammed this down the throats of this, not only the citizens next to the forest, but everyone in Atlanta coming out of the 2020 uprisings. So this is in itself is a slap to civil rights, to not only the Black community, but in our estimation to the larger movement, which part of this facility is meant to stop future organizing against police violence.
It's almost Orwellian the way they describe it. And not just social issues, environmental issues as well. I'm going, oh, and I just want to note here, we did ask the Atlanta Police Foundation for a comment here, got no response from them. We also asked the city of Atlanta and got no response also. But I'll let them speak for themselves like they did on their own website there. This here, if we can go to my computer again, this is from the city of Atlanta. It actually has the South River Park highlighted on here, and they're called, it's called part of the lungs of Atlanta. Jackie, will you touch on that, the environmental importance of this area and what's at risk with the center?
Sure. This is the largest piece of green space remaining inside I-285. You know, that's the belt line around around Atlanta. So it's 300 plus acres. So it's a massive piece of property. Mm-hmm. And so from that standpoint, it is vital to climate change, to dealing with the effects of climate change, from the standpoint of air quality, from the standpoint of protecting Entrenchment Creek that flows through it, just from a quality of life standpoint. So Atlanta is developing rapidly. It's very a very pro-development town, and it's losing its tree canopy at an alarming rate. More trees are being destroyed every year than are being planted, and even those that are planted are 2-inch caliber. So it'll be a long time before they are really any viable use as relates to impact on the environment. This green space in Southeast Atlanta, is critical to the city itself, not to the residents of Southeast Atlanta, South DeKalb County, but to the city as a whole.
Hey, I want to bring in someone from our audience here. This is G Girl, and she says, "Who owns the land originally?" And Anna, that's touched on in your film. Let's play a clip here about the history of this land.
Atlanta's proposal to construct the police facility here speaks to the land's painful history. The site was a prison farm until 1995. Prisoners there were subjected to harsh punishments and slave conditions, including poor sanitation, nutrition, and overcrowding. Some critics say claims of unmarked graves have not yet been properly investigated. Before that, the land is thought to have been a plantation that enslaved at least 19 people. It was originally stolen from the Muskogee, who lived there until the U.S. government forcefully displaced them to Oklahoma. Today, both activists and tribal members have reclaimed the indigenous name as Willani People's Park.
A fascinating history for this piece of land, Anna. I'm curious, is the Muskogee Nation, are they involved in what's going on there now in any way?
Yeah, so, I mean, as you can see, this piece of land has a really, painful past. And local advocates and community members have told me that there has been basically no effort, no genuine effort on the city's behalf to try to make amends or try to even study this past and the potential crimes that were committed on this land by the U.S. government, right? And by building this facility on this land, they're really trying to cover up this past, not make any amends at all. And so the Muskogee people who are based in Oklahoma, they have been frequenting the forest, trying to explore the idea of getting their land back and trying to reclaim their homeland again. But I think that the, U.S. government, the city has not reached out to the indigenous tribes. And so they have failed in that way. But also the people who are protesting and occupying the forest, they're trying to, help the Muskogee tribe, get this land back. So that's why that they have named it Willani People's Park, which is the original Muskogee Creek name of the forest.
Yeah, we actually reached out to the Muskogee Nation as well, and they were going to provide comment today for the show, but they're being hit with a massive winter storm right now that's knocked out a lot of their power. Their schools are closed, so they weren't able to do it. Come on, I'm sorry, I jumped on you there.
Oh, no, not at all. I just wanted to add really quick, too. And so the the composition of the opposition of building Cop City is really wide. Not only is it from folks from Muskogee Nation that used to be there, but it is from the Black community. It is from the environmentalists. It is, as you stated, from people who are defend the forest folks. It is from civil rights advocates. It is from people from the community. So there's a wide breadth of folks who have been supporting or demonstrating against the building of Cop City since the very beginning. And we should mention that since the very beginning, the police have used violence against protesters to stop stop folks from protesting and demanding that this doesn't get built. Even at our earliest protest that we had in 2021, the police were arresting people. We had over 17 arrests. People were thrown down to the ground, pepper sprayed. People were given charges of disorderly conduct during that phase of everything. And then now we've moved to this new phase where they are actually giving charges of domestic terrorism. And as we talked about earlier in January of 18th, they actually killed a protester. And so the city, the state, and the federal government have been engaged in a multi-level task force, which is meant to destroy any movement to stop Cop City and instead to allow the police to build this facility, which, again, we know will be used against the Black community in particular, and we know will be used against organizing and activism in the future.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that. With the murder of Manuel Turon, the police said that it was in self-defense, but they were all wearing body cameras. Has that footage been released? And if not, why not?
There's no body cam footage, according to the police, of the shooting, which we find highly disbelievable, right? The police, this task force was made up of the Atlanta police, DeKalb County police, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. Some news reports even placed the FBI there. In particular, the Atlanta police are required to have body cameras on when they have encounters with the public. And so for them to tell us that they have no body camera image whatsoever is immediately suspect. The fact that they would weave a tale that says one shot was fired by the protester and then it was a return fire. Our reports from folks who were around the force was that there was a sudden burst of fire. It makes no sense that one individual in a tent who expressed no interest whatsoever of being in a duel with the police would somehow shoot first when over 20 to 25 officers of various stripes were there telling them to get out the tent. It just seems ridiculous on its face. Right. And as we know, the police have been known to lie in their reports, as they did in George Floyd, mm-hmm. as they just did in Memphis, and as they've continually done to tell one story, and then only later on does the truth come out.
You know, as you say this, I'm sitting here looking at an AP photo of Atlanta SWAT members, and they're all wearing body cams. And you're right. Just this week, we've watched in Memphis how police murdered a man and then lied about it in their official reports. Someone's got to produce this footage. To say there's no footage is beyond belief. What were you going to say, Anna?
Yeah, no, I was going to add that they claim that there is no body cam footage, and that is the exact reason why there have been growing calls to call for an independent investigation to be done into what actually happened here. But I think another thing that Kamau mentioned that's really interesting is just the kind of dangerous precedent that these domestic terrorism charges are going to create. You know, Fruit Bat, who is a protester, forest occupier that we follow in the film, we were notified by a source in the movement that he was one of those arrested and charged with domestic terrorism. And you can see in the film that he is peacefully protesting. But also in the film, you can see in our interviews with city politicians, you know, blatantly admitting to us on camera for months now, they've been actively pursuers for domestic terrorism, even before investigating or arresting them. So this sets sort of like a dangerous example for future protesters. You know, civil rights groups are saying that they are using this charge to politicize marginalized groups to kind of clamp down on protesters. And yeah, for the future of protesters in the U.S. that don't agree with certain things the government or the police is doing, this is a dangerous example that they're setting.
And of course, dissent is protected here. It's supposed to be. You brought up two clips, and we actually have both of those ready. So let's start with the forest defender. And is this the person that you were just talking about?
forest defenders have demolished equipment that they say attempted to destroy the forest.
It's like become kind of a relic of significance just to show, you know, kind of what happens if people want to come and destroy the forest. It just shows that we're not going to cooperate with the police or talk to the police.
It's why not everyone agrees with the way defenders have been resisting. Some of them have embraced militant tactics, vandalizing police and private contractor vehicles. Other critics say they do not represent the communities living in Southeast Atlanta.
Okay, we don't see eye to eye on everything, but we are here trying to defend the forest.
Anna, is
that...
He's since been arrested?
Who was interviewed. Yeah, so the second protester who was in that clip has now been arrested. And I mean, both of you in Atlanta, you guys can speak to this, but now there has just been less presence in the forest because of the increased police activity. You know, I think it's interesting in the beginning of the clip, we saw that I said, you know, the fate of the forest is up in the air. But it seems now that as police are clamping down on these protesters and arresting them aggressively, the fate does seem that they are going to move forward with this construction of the facility. And they were very clear with me on this. The city of Atlanta, I know, didn't respond to you guys, but when I was doing the report, they responded to me and said that they plan to finish building the facility by the end of 2023. And now that it's the beginning of the year, I think that is the reason why they have really ramped up this type of aggression towards protesters. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was reporting on this at the end of last year, I saw video footage from those occupying the forest. They had videos of the police, you know, raiding the area, cutting down trees as these people were sitting inside trees, you know, endangering their safety. So I'm sort of like not surprised to see the rise in aggression from the police against the protesters.
All right, and I want to bring in that city council. Go for it, Kamal.
So really quick, I just said this is why I wanted to point out earlier that the violence from the police has started since the very beginning of the protest, and they've only escalated their tactics. All of the folks arrested in the, so far, we've had 19 arrests now of people charged with domestic terrorism. All of the folks who were arrested in the forest were arrested while sitting in trees or tree huts and or near their campsites. None of these folks were engaged in any activity whatsoever that can even be closely connected to any acts of so-called terrorism or even vandalism at that particular stage. These folks were arrested while they were in trees. These folks were at most committing the act of civil disobedience and nothing more. And so these are just scare tactics to criminalize the movement against Cop City and nothing more than that. And I think that is what we're at the stage where we're at, where I agree with Anna, that at this stage, what they want to do is to criminalize the movement, get everyone out the forest, and so that they can build as fast as possible, because they see that folks are beginning to watch and to see what's happening, call in, protest even more, both in Atlanta, nationally and internationally. And then lastly, I think it's important, they try to keep talking about that the protesters are outside agitators. And these are the very same public officials who less than 2 weeks ago were honoring Dr. King. Dr. King, who did what? Who went around from city to city, from state to state, protesting unjust laws, committing acts of civil disobedience. And those very same authorities of that day called Dr. King a what? An outside agitator, a criminal, even a terrorist, even. So the fact that they're trying to use the language of Southern segregationists mm-hmm. is, in fact, for us, a ploy to try to switch the intention from what's happening in terms of that militarized police base that no one wants to what's happening in terms of activists coming from out of town who we welcome to do protest and to organize against Cop City.
Yeah, and side note for our international audience, Atlanta, where you guys are sitting, is the home of Dr. King. Jackie, I want to bring you in because I know that there's the watershed there, and I know that that's protected by some Clean Water Act laws. What's going on with that part of this?
We've been approaching actually stopping this project through the regulatory channel, which is at this point likely the best route mm-hmm. to actually stop it and further the conversation about you know, alternative sites, which is also what we've been promoting. The creek that flows through the site is on the state's impaired waters list, to give you just a few seconds of what the issue is. The creek is impaired. It's impaired because of the impact of sediment on the fish and macroinvertebrate population in the creek. And so as a result, there's a limit that's been placed on the amount of sediment that can enter the creek by Georgia EPD. And it's also supported, of course, by the Clean Water Act. So we are at this point pursuing the regulatory angle that pretty much directly supports mm-hmm. our claim that the creek cannot assimilate any more sediment. Plenty of sediment will be produced by the construction, and therefore it will violate the Clean Water Act. So that's what we have been pursuing for, you know, several months now. And that's what we will continue to pursue in terms of when they issue the permit, appealing it through the channels that hopefully we, in the end, will be successful in terms of protecting the creek and protecting the land around it, which supports the creek.
I want to get city officials in here. We've only got a few minutes left, and I want to show this clip from the dock of city officials and how they responded to Anna's questions.
Why did you vote to approve this facility?
It's going to be a big recruiting tool.
We have a duty, I think, and an obligation to provide our employees with the best in class of everything.
But you also have an obligation to listen to what the community is saying, right? Do you feel like you've done that?
Yes, I feel that I've done that. I'm a citywide representative. I move around the city constantly.
There were multiple chances for the public to speak. I've never been to a neighborhood planning unit meeting or a neighborhood meeting where I have been told we don't want this.
Kamau, just to make sure you heard the end of that was Dustin Hillis, I think is his name. He said he's never been to a planning committee or a community meeting where he heard someone against this plan.
Well, that's a joke of a statement. Again, on the day that they voted, they had over 1,000 calls that came in. Over 70% of those calls were opposed to the building of this facility. Again, polls again taken in the neighborhood directly adjacent to where this forest is going, this Cop City is going to be built, have said that they are opposed to this facility. Protest after protest, civil disobedience, direct action. They know that people are opposed to this.
Hey, Kamau, I'm going to interrupt you because I only got two minutes, and I want you to respond to this. On their website, the Atlanta Police Foundation, it says that they're doing this in partnership with the National Center for Civil and Human Rights. Do you know anything about that?
I know that the National Center for Civil and Human Rights is funded by Coca-Cola, which is at one point was one of the corporate sponsors for this facility. I think I know we have to go soon, but on this facility, they're going to have a Black Hawk helicopter landing pad. They're going to have over a dozen firing ranges. They're going to have a place to detonate explosives. They're going to have mock cities. This has nothing to do with policing. This has everything to do with militarizing the police in our communities. It has nothing to do with trying for public safety. This has everything to do with stopping uprisings and continuing the militarization of the police against Black communities.
And I have less than a minute left. Go for it.
Yeah, I just want to add that, you know, as you can hear from Kamau, there is such a deep mistrust between Black neighborhoods and the city, because they were telling me that it's in the name of public safety, right? They really believe that this center can improve public safety. And if they believe so, I think it's up to them to communicate transparently with the community, which they have clearly failed to do so. And, you know, the Black communities, they believe that this will lead to further militarization of the police. And again, the part
Anna,
that
I got
to
I got to so stop you there. It's live TV. Yeah. And we're going to lose the show. The city of Atlanta has said that they are going to build this facility, and it's going to happen before the end of this year. We will continue to watch it on Al Jazeera and go to Al Jazeera Plus to find Anna Cook's excellent documentary on this.